Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Jesse the Planner is here. Kathy had been preaching the Word of God. She preached a sermon entitled Miracles. I want to ask you a question. Do you need a miracle in your life right now? Think about that for a minute. Buddy, I tell you what, you sure could stand it spiritually, physically, financially. The Word of God says in St. John 14, verses 12, 13, and 14, that you can have them all. So, Kathy, I thank you for preaching this. So I want to go into this sermon she's ministering right now entitled Miracles and think about the miracle you want today, not tomorrow. You want it in the now. Faith is in the now. Take it away, Kathy.
We're going to turn to John chapter 14 and talk about miracles. Amen? Amen. Anybody in here has ever experienced a miracle in your life? I want to see hands all over the room. I know it. I have experienced miracles myself in different levels. Some of them were financial miracles. Some were healing miracles. Some were other types of miracles, favor miracles. Something that should have never happened, happened because I was believing God and trusting God. And He came in and turned situations around. Salvation miracles. My very life is a miracle. The fact that I can live for Him and know Him is a miracle. We're each one of us that are born again. We're all miracles. So often in the world today, we use the phrase commonly, like, oh, that's a miracle. And you know, every little thing that happens can't be a miracle. But there's some big miracles we've all experienced, amen? Amen. So let's not cheapen the word and realize that when we're talking about today and throughout this series are great things that God has done, what He has done, what He is doing, and what He will do for anybody that will dare to believe Him, amen? Amen. I've often heard that miracles are like a dinner bell. When you ring it, people are gonna run to the table. Have anybody ever heard a dinner bell? Maybe you watch the Western and they have the little triangle. Those hands come out the field and that table's fully set and they sit down without any shyness and they gobble it up. They're hungry, right? So when you hear about miracles, it should make you hungry for more miracles. That's what that woman with the issue of blood who kept, the Bible says she heard about Jesus and she came in that press, in that crowd, and she just kept saying within herself, if I can just touch Him, I know that I'm going to be healed. You have to have that same determination to push through the obstacles and know that when you touch Jesus, you're going to get your miracle. Amen? Anybody here believing for another miracle? Hallelujah. Miracle manifestations are on the horizon. I want you to expect them. I want you to be looking for them. I want you to be praying for them. I want you to be declaring them. Hallelujah. I am a candidate for a miracle. You are a candidate for a miracle. And all of us is to bring glory to our Father. When Jesus heard that He performed miracles, multitudes brought their sick to Jesus to be healed. But Jesus did not expect the miraculous to come to a standstill when He left the earth. Let's read John chapter 14, verse 12, 13, and 14 in the New Living Translation. Very familiar verse of Scripture. It says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in Me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask anything in My name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask Me for anything in My name and I will do it. I love that. This is such a powerful promise, and it's here that each believer realizes they can be endowed with power and receive the Spirit without measure so they can do all the works that Jesus did while He was here, amen? Amen. And to make this promise of this supernatural works, it's not just spiritual. When He did, you can't claim that, oh, that's just spiritual stuff. God's not interested in your day-to-day life. If you make that claim, it's a poor excuse for unbelief because He was talking about everything. What did He say? Anything, right? Yes, ask Me for anything and I will do it in My name. And to make this scripture refer to just saving souls, which some people do because they say that all miracles have ceased, tongues have ceased, a lot of things have ceased, they're ceased. Word of God does not cease. To make it to refer to just saving souls is to ignore facts, because he did this also, right? Wasn't just spiritual things he came to do. He did that, but he also fed the multitudes. He did a lot of things. To limit its works to the works of the apostles will rob other believers of benefits of the promise. We can't limit it to the early church. The ending church, which is, I believe, what we are, we need to be doing even more, because we have the foundation of what they did back then, and they didn't have the Bible like we have it today to just flip through it and read what God did. Amen? Amen. So Jesus wanted his church to carry on where he stopped. He empowered us to do the greater things that he would have done had he still been here. He wanted it to continue. And it's called legacy. Anybody that's a parent, a company, when you build something, you don't want it to just go away when you leave. You're building something. You want your generations to the next part of the family, to someone to take up the torch and keep it going, right? But Jesus did this too. He gave every believer the power and authority to do his work through the power of the Holy Spirit. So the promise that we just read in John chapter 14, verse 12, it was very powerful. And Jesus spoke this while he was at the Last Supper with his disciples. So think about the many works that these disciples saw him do. They were eyewitnesses to so many things. There's just seven of them listed in the Gospel of John, which we studied in our past study of John. We went in depth of all of this. But the Gospel of John selectively recorded the details of just seven of these miracles. Of course, we know that he also said that, you know, if all the books in the world would have been written, we couldn't have contained all the good things, all the miracles, the signs and wonders that Jesus did. He says, but these are written so that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But he recorded details about seven of them. Number one, changing the water into wine. You're all familiar with this. Number two, healing of this nobleman's son who was near death. We went in details about all of these teachings in the Bible, in the Gospel of John study, which you can go and watch anytime or listen to anytime on our YouTube channel. We have those listed. Number three, he healed a paralyzed man. And number four, he was feeding the 5,000. Then he's walking on water. John records the details of how he was walking on the water. And how he healed the blind man, that was number the sixth thing. And the seventh thing in the list that John records in his gospel was the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And each of these miraculous works of Jesus were different. No two were alike. And they all demonstrated the power, the glory, and the deity of Jesus Christ. You know, but almost every miracle that Jesus did was like a renewal of the fallen creation. It restored sight to the blind, and it made the lame man walk, and it even restored life to those that were dead. Three different people, the Bible records, that he rose, that were risen from the dead because of Jesus. There could have been more, but that's what was recorded. Amen? We'll find out about all of that in heaven. But the Gospels use three different Greek words to describe Jesus' miraculous works. We're going to look at that for a moment. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the word dunamis, you've probably heard about that. The word dunamis, which means power, is used to describe the mighty works of Jesus. And this is where we get our word dynamite. And it's used to describe strength, power, force, and ability. John, however, does not use this popular term, dunamis, to describe Jesus' miracles. Instead, he uses one word called simeon, and it means, it's a Greek word, it means a sign by which something is known, a token of confirmation of a divine work or call. Amen? John also used this other word. This is the, I'm going to tell you there was three different words in the New Testament. John also used this word ergon, which is a Greek word used to describe Jesus' miracles in John chapter 14, 12, which we just read. And it's clear that he refers to miracles, healings, signs, wonders, and mighty acts of power. And remember, he said these works, that's the definition, that's the translation for the word works, or John called them signs. These works that I do, he says, you're going to do them. And greater. Amen? Amen? I know, don't get intimidated by that. That's the devil rising up, trying to get you, shut you down for what God really wants to be have done in the earth. But God, these are the words of Jesus, so we don't need to question it. We just need to believe it. Amen. His works consisted of healing all manner of sickness. Say, all manner of sickness. And disease. And it also consisted of casting out devils. Because sometimes, many times, that's the force behind the sickness that sometimes is manifested. Not always, but many times, it's a devil that's in there that just needs to be cast out and healing will flow. Amen? Amen. Raising the dead, he cleansed lepers, and he did innumerable acts of deliverance from all the works of Satan. And he controlled the elements. He multiplied food. He walked on the water, restored a severed ear. Yeah. Surgery. I mean, better than any plastic surgeon could have done it, honey. Turned water into wine, accomplished anything that he undertook to do in the material and the spiritual world. That's what he does. I want you to listen to John chapter 14, verse 12, the same verse we just read, portion of just this one verse in the Passion Translation. They'll put it on the screens for you. It says, I tell you this timeless truth. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do. Even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. I love that translation of that verse. Because these works he's talking about is talking about miracles. And that's what we're studying about. Because God wants us to get sharp on this and realize that he is a God of miracles. And he's still doing miracles. He still wants to move. And we have to make sure that we don't let our mind get clouded with our own past experiences or what some people have said or taught. We have to give the Bible as final authority on any subject. Amen? It can be depended upon. Hallelujah. Because why? It's alive. It's a living book. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are life. They are spirit and they are life. So it's continuing to build and strengthen you. It imparts the nutrition, the nutrients that you need to live this life that he's called you to live. He would not tell you to do something if he wouldn't give you and empower you with the anointing and the strength to get it done. He's a good God, amen? Amen. He just says, come on up higher. Come on up higher and believe me. That's a truth throughout the whole Bible. What Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible. Nothing is ever possible to someone that believes. Amen?
Amen.
This promise belongs to every person that follows Jesus in faith. And when Jesus went to his Father and sent the Holy Spirit, he empowered his church to do the same mighty miracles that he did. And even greater miracles. See, God's purpose was to bring his kingdom and power into the world in a way they had never seen before. Think about that. A way they had never seen before when the apostles, the disciples, changed after they had that upper room experience when the Holy Ghost came down and transformed this weak, scared Peter into the voice, the mouthpiece for the church. And he stood up on that day of Pentecost and began to declare and speak the word of God under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it transformed 3,000 souls that day were added to the Lord. 3,000, that was just the beginning. Look how many millions around the world that know Jesus, that have known him down through the centuries, and many of them are now in heaven. Hallelujah. I just talked to several people just this week that they had a family member that were transitioned into glory, is how we say it. And it's a sad time in some ways because we'll miss people. But my goodness, the fact that they have this eternal home is, we know about it because of the Bible. And it gives us hope and it gives us comfort, gives us strength and courage. Amen? That's what it's all about. God's purpose was to bring his kingdom and power into the world in a way never seen before. I want you to grab hold of that. Because those disciples went out and God worked through them. We're going to read about that in a moment. But what happened was they had this testimony. They said, oh, those people that have turned the world upside down are come here too. They had a reputation for walking for God and speaking for God and changing things. Miracles flowed. Amen? Amen. Miracles. Say miracles.
Miracles.
Hallelujah. Let's turn to Mark chapter 16. After his resurrection, Jesus gave his church a mandate to carry on the miraculous works that he did and greater. Let's read Mark chapter 16. Y'all turn there. We're going to read verse 15 through 20 in the New Living Translation. It says, And then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone, say anyone.
Anyone.
Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. What happened to the Apostle Paul when he was shipwrecked on the island and he's just trying to gather sticks to help make a fire or add to the fire, and the snake came on him? He just shook him off in the fire. This is not talking about tempting the Lord God and doing something stupid and crazy. It's just talking about the divine protection of God when you walk in this level of believing. Amen? Verse 19, and when the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. Greater works. Amen?
Amen.
This is often called the Great Commission of Jesus to his church. But in order for this promise to come to pass, the disciples had to do something. They had to go, right? And if they just sat at home on a couch, if they even had couches in those days, I'm not sure. If they just sat home waiting for the signs and the wonders to happen, nothing would have happened. But when they went everywhere in obedience to his word, the Lord was able to work through them, confirming what they had said, it says, with many miraculous signs. This same principle applies for us today. If we want to be effective in fulfilling the Great Commission of Jesus, and all of us are called to do that. Amen? This wasn't just to a select few. This is what he assigned to his church. Anybody here part of the Church of Jesus Christ? The Church of Jesus Christ right here in Destry is called Covenant Church, but I'm talking about the body of Christ, all of those that know him as Savior. This is what his plan is for us. If we want to be effective in fulfilling the Great Commission of Jesus, three key elements must be at work in our lives. We're going to go through this today. Number one, we must believe in Jesus. That's ground zero, right? We must believe in Jesus. Number two, we must obey God's word. Obey his word and the word that he's speaking to us. Sometimes we're talking about the scriptures, and other times we're talking about a supernatural word that God has given us. No word from God will be impossible of fulfillment. Amen? Amen. So we must obey God's word. And number three, we must expect miracles. You get what you expect. If you expect something, you're going to get something. We got a few women in the house that are expecting. I love seeing that. It's a demonstration of God's principle of the seed time and the harvest. You're going to get something. We're going to see that something's crawling around and walking around and running around. And we're building a new children's facility or decorating it for that purpose, because God's growing the church. Amen?
Amen.
But when we follow Jesus in faith and believe in him, God will bring his kingdom power and into the world in a way that has never been seen before.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to see God move in a way like you've never seen before, you have to expand your view of who He is. You have to believe in His power to do the impossible. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have daring faith in God? You see, faith is the catalyst for your miracle. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit inside you that's unlimited. Why would you limit something that's unlimited? Let me ask, do you need a healing? Yeah, Brother Jesse. How about some freedom? Oh, yeah, Brother Jesse. Provision? Oh, yeah, Brother Jesse. Salvation for a loved one? Yeah, Brother Jesse. When you know in whom you have believed, anything is possible. I believe God is stirring up some daring faith in you right now, and I want to pray for you. Can I do that? Father, in Jesus' name, we stir up the gift of God in people that are watching today. Let their faith begin to multiply greatly so they can receive the things they want. They need a miracle. Lord, I decree it, I declare it, I call it done right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, of whose I am and whose I serve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. There was a great woman of God many, many years ago in the 70s. Her name was Catherine Kuhlman. She says, she was very dramatic. She'd go, I believe in miracles. Well, what's wrong with that? My God, everybody needs one once in a while, don't you? I know I do. I tell you what, God is so good. Kathy, I just can't thank you enough for preaching that, because I've never met a person in my life that didn't need something to happen, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial, and it took a miracle to get it done. And that's just simply the truth. Now, you stay right there. I'll be back in just a moment to speak another word to you. Show's not over. I want to show you something. I'll be back right in a moment.
You can broadcast the wonderful works of God right where you are. We have been entrusted to see to it that this message gets communicated to everyone, everywhere. You could be the one that changes somebody's life. You may not change thousands, but if you change one, that's all that counts.
Kathy Duplantis' Glorious, A Conference for Women, March 7th and 8th, 2025.
Is there anything too hard for the Lord? The answer is no, there's not. In my book, Give God a Job, you will discover that our magnificent God is ready and able to fulfill every promise that He has for you. It's time to ask in faith and start living on earth as it is in heaven. Remember, if you keep God busy, He will keep you busy. Order your copy of my book, Give God a Job, today at jdm.org. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to get the book that I never intended to write. Give God a Job. It's our October product offer. It will bless you. And it's also our theme of this year. Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No, nothing is too hard. Ladies and gentlemen, I wasn't going to write this book, but God moved upon me to do it. So give God a job and receive your miracle, because that's how you get them. How do I get this? Go to jdm.org. to get your copy today. You will be blessed by it. Partners, thank you for all that you do for this ministry. Your faithful financial support is so vitally important. You've heard me say it thousands of times over the years. I've asked the Lord for every dollar given in my ministry, euro, pound, whatever currency you use, to give me a soul into the kingdom of God. I'm very passionate about that. Nothing too small and nothing too big. We're constantly growing. This ministry is growing leaps and bounds, and it's amazing to me. And you know, I thought as I got old and the hair gets, I don't think it can get any more whiter. I don't think so. Thank God I got it. This is my hair. Praise the Lord. I mean, God just got us preaching this gospel literally all over the world. So would you bless us today? When I say us, I'm talking about God Almighty, you and me, and together we'll get somebody saved through the power of His holy word. I tell you, it's just such a blessing. We will not falter and fail, concerning the calling God has for me in this ministry. Hallelujah, man. You know, I'm almost stumbling because I want to pray in the Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus, because it's so powerful to get people saved, stop them from going to hell, shut it down, get their bodies healed. That's what Kathy's been preaching on miracles. Now, next week, part two of Kathy's message, miracles. You can't just do it in one show, because it's powerful. So thank you, partners, for helping us reach people, change lives, one soul at a time. Bye-bye. Think of that. That's the words of Jesus. See, Jesse and Planet's Ministries has one driving passion, one thing we ask in Jesus' name: to be empowered and equipped above and beyond to effectively share God's message of salvation with the entire world. We want everyone to have an opportunity to know the real Jesus, approachable, personable, compassionate, and full of joy. That's the truth that we put on full display and invite countless others to know for themselves. We know He'll do everything and more. Why? Because we believe it, leading us to do the impossible for His glory. God called me to go. He said, "Go ye, and I go." And sent people to link up in faith with the vision. That's you sending me to do the work. We are running further and faster than ever, infused with supernatural energy, shining the light of the gospel, seizing every divine opportunity. We're advancing and cutting through barriers to reach people right where they are. What shall I do for thee? Ask God for something unbelievable, something impossible. And you know what God will do? He'll walk off that throne and go get that thing for you. We have a classic message for our October partner offer. It's entitled, Water Walking Disciples. You were created to do the impossible, to attempt the impossible task that will bring impossible results. Your destination isn't to ride out the storm. Learn how to develop the water walking faith that God gives you. You can step out the boat and walk toward Jesus. Get your copy today at jdm.org now.
He didn't put us out here without a plan. God has a plan to get miracles to us, whether those miracles are financial, whether they're physical, or whatever type of miracle you might need in your life. We serve a good God, amen? It is important to remember different miracle moments in your life and tell others about it.